Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
God, for another year with my dad, amen. Another year wiser, another year older, amen. Thank God for my dad. He's been, definitely has been important in my life, amen. In my relationship with God, and training me up, pushing me to become better. You know, my kids think I'm the only dad that does that. But my dad definitely did that, and I'm very appreciative of him being in my life. Amen. All right, we're going to get into it. We're talking about hunger and thirst. Somebody say hunger and thirst. All right, this is part two of hunger and thirst. Kids, be quiet, okay? Golly. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to that. Whew, that's what happens in the church. I just say quiet, kids. Praise the Lord. It don't happen at my house like that. Hallelujah. But let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you to God for another time, another day, dear God, that we are here in your house and in your presence. Oh, God, I pray to God that your word will go forth, that God, that your word will lead, guide, direct us in all truth and wisdom and insight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. My theme scripture for this short series is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, the Beatitudes. And Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Say it like we all know it. They shall be filled. All right. So we're talking about hunger and thirst. Last week, I'm just going to highlight it very quickly. I talked about the prodigal son, and it actually, we called it the lost son, because that's what he was, the lost son and his hunger and thirst. His hunger and thirst drove him somewhere where it emptied him out, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. That's what I talked about last week. This week, we're going to talk about another person that was hungry, but more importantly, thirsty at this point. And Jesus actually speaks directly to her, because I believe that if we learn to hunger and thirst after righteousness, it will cause us to walk out a different life. Amen. It will cause us, even as believers, it will cause us to say, man, I really got to go do something for God, because I hunger and thirst to do the will of God. Yes. Amen? Amen. My first scripture for today is Psalm chapter 34, verse 10. And this is not very long. I don't plan on being in front of you guys very long. But 34, verse 10 says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. All right. Now, check this out. I don't know if you guys are like me, and sometimes you might watch the lions go hunt. Anybody ever watch the lions hunting and turn on a Discovery? Now we got it on Netflix, so you don't got to wait for a certain time. I'm like, I want to see a good lion hunt. And I'm one of them people, I want to see that lion tear that animal apart. All right? Now, when you watch those shows, check this out. The lion is not very successful many times. Okay? How many? Okay, here, I'll even take it past the lion. If you talk about a cheetah, the fastest animal in the world, cheetahs don't survive that well, because they can only run for such a short time. And if they run too long, they can actually have a brain. They mess their brain up. I don't know how it works, but they'll be breathing so hard. That's why if you ever watch a cheetah, they're always breathing hard with their tongue out trying to get some air. Because if they don't get oxygen, they can die. Okay? But young lions are usually those who are inexperienced. Right? It said, the young lions lack and suffer hunger. Now, If we think about lions, the mother lion's job is to teach the lions how to hunt. Okay, the daddy lion don't come in unless it's his real meat coming through. Right? I mean, the big lion will only come if they hunting like a giraffe, an elephant, a hippo. Other than that, he's just going to let them go get it, and then he'll come in and eat. Okay? So the mom is trying to teach the young lions different things as they go out. But how many know that they are learning? And while they are learning, they might step on a twig, and it alerts all the giraffes or all the zebras or whatever they're trying to hunt. Check this out. As I watch these shows, and this is just a little bit of a side note, right? But as you watch these shows, they say if a lion is downwind from the animals, or basically if the wind is blowing from the lion, the zebras and everything can smell them. So a lion has to learn, I can't go there, right? Because if I go there, they're going to hear me. Now, another animal, my favorite animal, is a tiger. You know, I got the tiger shirt on. My daughter was like, hey, Daddy, that's a nice shirt. Every time I wear it, people be like, it's a nice shirt. Well, a tiger is my favorite animal. In the jungle, when a tiger is young, he is very unsuccessful. Okay? But as a tiger gets older, it says that the tiger can walk all the way through the jungle and not make any noise. I'm watching this stuff like, what? Like, you would not know that the tiger is there. Why? Because they learned, man, I got to do this thing right. Right? So young lions lack and suffer hunger because of inexperience. And even in our walk with God, we can get hungry and miss the things that God has for us because of inexperience, right? I consider myself sometimes a seasoned saint, right? We've been in this for a while, but I'm still very young. So there's some things that happen, and I'm like, man, I want to lash out and do this right here. And then my parents will be like, no, son, that's not wisdom, right? That's why it's important. The Bible talks about elders. Come on, somebody say elders. It's important for us to honor elders, but also listen to them. Because they've been through things that we haven't been through. And in a day and age where we kind of see when people get old enough, we leave them in different places and just say, hey, we'll see you later. One day we'll come back and visit. We miss the wisdom that we can learn from them. So that means we got to go bump our heads our own way. And how many know that's not what God intended? God does not intend that every time a new generation comes in, that generation has to learn everything all over again. Okay? Why do I say that? And can I back it up with Bible? Yes, I can. Do you remember that when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and when they got to the promised land, one thing that they begin to do is they begin to put stones in areas for remembrance of what God had did, so that every time they went by this stone, they would tell their kids, man, I remember when God did this. We were going through, and it's funny because when we go to Moses Lake, Precious always, we go to this one spot, and her dad used to always say something about this spot, right? Every time. So now, every time we go by, oh, man, those pigs, they fell down this water, and we never did see that man again. She'll tell me that every time we go by Vantage Point. But it was the same thing with the believers. With the Israelites, they set up these rocks so that they can have a remembrance of what God did so that the children would not forget. Okay? So we're talking about young and hungry, but remember, when you're young, sometimes your ambitions are wrong. Right? I don't know about you, Monica, but when we first left our house, we probably were thinking a little bit different. Right? If I just go do this, oh man, I could save the world. I'm the one. Then you go out into the real world and be like, I don't know if I was that one. Right? Your plans don't always go the way that they seem. But it says in the latter part of this verse, and that's a church word because it's latter. It says, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come on, somebody say amen. See, we have many plans, and we all know that. I've said this a lot of times, that man's plans don't always work out, but God's plans will prevail. But if we are hungry, but we don't seek the Lord, we're going to remain hungry. Okay? Now, I know, you know, one thing that always gets to me is when pastors start talking about food. Right? You ever have a pastor get up here and you ain't ate, and he talks about chicken wings. Oh, those chicken wings. I made some chicken wings yesterday, and whoo, they were really good. But guess what? The next day, I got hungry again. Right? But when you get into the presence of God, it satisfies you in a way that no food can do. I need somebody to say hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst. It says, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. In this world, as we go and as we continue, we must continue to seek God or else we'll be lost. Right? We'll watch what everybody else has on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. And man, I wish I had that life. A Snapchat life, right? You just got a snap of it and you want to see, man, if I could just do what, don't hunger and thirst after those things. Hunger and thirst after God. Amen. Here's another scripture. And Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Okay? Now, this is not a physical thing. We know that, right? Because once I gave my life to Christ, as we seek God, it's not like, oh, I never have to eat any food again. Right? It's not like that. Because hunger goes deeper than food. That's why some people are, what do they call it, are bulimics. They continue to eat food because their hunger is not satisfied, right? They might be full, but their hunger is not satisfied because there's something that they feel they're missing, right? And we could try to fill these things with our job, our positions, our status, or even our... our ambitions, right? We can try to fill this hunger that we have, but if we don't fill it with God, we'll still remain empty. That's why millionaires are suicidal. Now, let's be real. They had an ambition to get money. They had an ambition to get to this point in life where they got a nice house, a nice car, but their hunger and their thirst was not filled. So they kept saying, okay, maybe I need a little more. Maybe I need to add another zero to the back of that in my bank account, right? Or maybe I need this. Maybe I need that. Maybe I should try this. Maybe I should dabble in that. But if they don't learn that the hunger that they have is something that God has placed in you, inside of you, for you to hunger and thirst after him, they will remain empty. Even us as believers, we can't fall to that trap because it's very easy to fall to that trap. It makes you start, I don't got time to pray today. I got some things to do, right? Because I gotta move here, I gotta move there. And how many know when you're busy, that's when you really understand you're empty. You got a full schedule, but you're not full, right? Because your hunger and your thirst must come from God. Let's go to John chapter 4. This is my feature scripture of the day. And I'm going to read it all the way until verse 26. But we're talking about the Samaritan woman. And I would like to say the thirsty woman. Now, not thirsty like in the world, you know, they just thirsty, right? No, that's not what I'm talking about. But in a sense, she did have a thirst. Okay? Let's get to it. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then a woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Basically saying, why are you talking to me? We're not even cool like that. Matter of fact, your people, we and my people, we don't talk, right? Matter of fact, if we are too close, we start having wars. That's basically what the young lady is saying to Jesus, right? Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Okay? The woman said to him, "Sir, I have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" Where you get that water? Wait, you got some other water that we can... I mean, shoot, that's basically what she's saying. There's something else. Jesus is letting her know, hey, there's more than just this water. There's living water. We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. Then she asked a question. Are you greater? Another question. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself as well as him and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." But listen to verse 14. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Okay? So this water that God gives you becomes a fountain inside of you that gives everlasting life, right? This is why the Bible talks about, well, we've heard people say that in the church, the joy God gave to me and the world can't take it away, right? Because they have a stream inside of them. Okay? Now, if you actually break down, a lot of times when they talk about the water in the Bible, it is a symbolic, it is symbolic for the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the Holy Spirit will come into you, and when you have the Holy Spirit in you, he fills you, right? And it begins to overflow when you allow him to lead your life, okay? And, you know, we have to get to a place where the Holy Spirit is feeding us and we're listening. The more that you obey the Spirit of God, the more you can see, you can be fed, right? The more that the water flows into your life, when you obey him and he says, go speak to that person and you do it, now you're full. I don't know about you, but have you ever went and been in ministry and as you go, you're just like, man, this is what I'm made for. I'm excited because God spoke a word to me and now I see how it's impacted somebody's life. You get excited. You can't sleep, right? You can't just go, hey, listen, check this out. I guarantee it. After you go speak to somebody about God, you just don't fall back to sleep because you're excited. Your juices are flowing inside of you. It's juice. You got the juice, right? You really got the water, but hey, you know what I'm saying. But it will flow inside of you. Then the woman said, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw again. Okay, so she is still thinking this is a natural thing. She's like, man, give me that water, Jesus. So if I drink that water, I'll never have to come back to this well and draw again. I'm perfect. I'm set. Give me the water. That's what she's thinking. And while I even say that, some of us can get to the place where, hey, I got this water, and now I don't have to go amongst other people, because that's kind of what she was saying. I could just be by myself. But see, when you got this water, that's not what it's for. The living water is not for you to just hog it and hold it to yourself. It's for you to share. Right? When you see a spring or a stream of water, you don't block it so nobody receives it, right? Then it does no good. Here's another thing about water that's kind of interesting. Just a side note. Do you know a lot of our electricity is powered by water? You guys know that? A lot of electricity is powered by water. So that takes me to just think about the living water has and creates power when it's operating inside of you. Amen? The same way that they create electricity by water, and check this out, I don't know how they do it. But I know it is done. Right? But the same way, when we allow that water to flow in us, it causes electric power. Verse 16 said, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back here. So she's like, okay, if I get my husband, he's going to give me the water and that. But wait a minute. Here lies an issue, right? The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said I have no husbands, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. Okay. So Jesus, in sharing this, actually gets vulnerable with her, right? I mean, if this was on Facebook, we'd be like, dude, what you doing? But see, the living water will bring out honesty in you. When you're hungry and thirsting for for righteousness, you cannot hunger and thirst for unrighteousness at the same time. And this is what Jesus is breaking down right here, okay? The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet, because I didn't tell you none of that. Man, I just wanted some water, and now you hauling my business. Basically, that's what's going on, right? Verse 20 says, our fathers worship on this mountain, and now she kind of gets spiritual. And you Jews say that Jerusalem is a place where we ought to worship. She's kind of changed the subject, right? She kind of, you know how it's funny, because people in the world, they can get spiritual with you, right? You share something with them and they change the subject. Man, but I don't need to go to church. You know, I mean, I'm studying the word by myself. You know, that's, I'm cool, you know. Plus there's, you know, the church got all these problems and, you know, things like that, right? I mean, pastors stealing money and da 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 da. I mean, listen, they'll find every excuse in the book. But I was watching somebody talk about it. I think it was like a YouTube video or a Facebook video. And they talked about, yeah, the church might have hypocrites, but so do the people that go to the club. And they were like, but that don't stop you from going to the club, right? So what's the real issue? The real issue is, their hunger and thirst is not for righteousness. It's for the things of this world. And Jesus is breaking that down to her, but she will try to get a little spiritual. You know, but is this really the place we're supposed to worship? Because, you know, you guys said it was in Jerusalem. So if we're supposed to go to Jerusalem to worship, then this conversation's over. Basically, she kind of tried to back herself out of it. But Jesus said to her, somebody say, Jesus said, woman, believe me. Now, I don't know if he actually called her name, but he said, woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. It says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Okay? The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Okay? Then I actually do want to jump down a little bit. So basically, she goes and tells everybody that the Messiah is there because Jesus revealed himself to her. Okay, but he also broke down some of the superstitious mindsets that she had regarding God. Okay? Because she's thinking you have to worship in this place. And he's like, nah, that's not how it works. You're going to have to learn to worship in spirit and in truth. It doesn't matter where you are. Okay? So Jesus, first of all, reveals a hunger and thirst that she has, tell her that's not right, and he also corrects her train of thought on God, okay? This has to happen if you're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness, because we all have mindsets that we are sometimes born with or taught that are not what God intended for us to learn about him. You heard somebody say God is this, and you're looking for the scripture. Where does it say that? It doesn't say that in the scripture. That was just something that somebody said. So as we seek after God in his word and hunger after him and say, God, reveal yourself to me. Show me your face. Show me who you are. He will have to tear down some things that were taught in your life that were not from him. So you can hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay? Verse 31 says, in the meantime, this is after she went out to tell everybody, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. All right, we're talking about hunger right here, right? Therefore, the disciples said to one another, and we see that in the Bible a lot. The disciples always have side conversations, right? Man, what the... Has anyone brought him anything? Did you bring him something? I mean, I don't know if it just sounded like that. You know, like Charlie Brown, right? You can't never understand what the parents are saying in Charlie Brown or the adults. But Jesus always knows what they're thinking. And he said to them, my food, catch this, is to do the will of him who sent me. And to finish his work. All right? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Okay? That is very important. Because I'm actually going to stop there. But our food, when we are hungry... See, when you are thirsty for God, I like how this is breaking down. When you are thirsty, God will fill you with a living water inside of you, right? But when you are hungry after God, you use that same thirst that's inside of you, that water, to go do his will. And you will be filled, okay? Because it's interesting. If you have dinner, you don't just drink something, right? Well, some of us do. I'm on this protein shake, you know, trying to lose some weight, you know. I mean, I've done it before. But I'm just saying, that's not a real meal, right? Go to somebody's house on Thanksgiving with a protein shake, right? Everybody got their plate filled. Oh, you know, I'm trying to wash these corners of my body. You know, I'm trying to, listen, don't do that. Because that's not a real plate, okay?
But people, we as the body of Christ have to have that water flowing in us where I'm not even looking for something else because I already got it. But since I got it, I got to do the will of God. Okay? This is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. The Bible says those who hunger, Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. And Jesus didn't even eat because he was filled doing the work of God. Amen? It's important. And I know I'm one of them people that, I don't know about you, when you get involved in one of your crafts or your arts that you really love to do, sometimes you might not even eat and be like, oh, man, dang, I've been doing this for 20 hours. I better go get something to eat. Right? Why? Because you love to do it. It should be like that with God's work. It should get to a point where I need to go share something with somebody because I'm hungry for what God is doing. I know God to do something if I just open my mouth. So God, lead me. These are the kind of prayers that you start praying. Lord, I'm hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and I want to see somebody's life change today. So God, lead me as I get on a bus, as I walk down this block, as I drive it, or however, lead me to somebody so somebody's life can get impacted. Those are the prayers that you pray when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. Somebody say hunger and thirst after righteousness. Dear God, we thank you for your word. Dear God, I pray to God that you would put inside of us such a hunger and a thirst for you, God, that we would want to do your will. Dear God, that we would not allow the living water that is inside of us, dear God, to run dry, but that we would share it with others, oh God. And that we would see your impact, your handprint, dear God, in the lives of those that are around us, oh God. It might not be instant, but God, allow us to share, plant seeds and water seeds, dear God, and allow you to get the increase in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say amen and amen. Who was that the other day that was like, oh, that was Tamron. He was like, if that was impactful to you, raise your hand. Hey, that's all right. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip up your hand. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon.
It's important for us to continue to move.
And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires.
We are dismissed.
We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.